Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci, Carly McCord coming to you from the Dog Bowl in Berea. And be there at First Energy Stadium as your Cleveland Browns take on the Jacksonville Jaguars on December 1st in a critical AFC matchup with playoff implications. Call 1-800-745-3000 or visit clevelandbrowns.com for available tickets. And it is Steeler Week. Let's call your shot Friday. So we do want to hear from you. But let's hear from some of the players talking about this big game with the Steelers. We'll start with DaQuell Jackson, the veteran leader and voice who called that kind of, you know, come to Jesus, as we like to call it, meeting with the team. And DaQuell was asked, when did you realize just how big this Steeler rivalry was?
It took a few years. I mean, you could feel the, you know, the intensity level rise a little bit. Probably about my second or third year. That fourth and fifth year, that's when I knew it. You know, coaches and players who've been around this rivalry, it means business.
See, and that's the thing I was talking about. For players, it takes a little bit of time. They have to see it unfold the way they see it on their schedule, because every week's to them is a rivalry, is competition. They're taught. And it's reinforced by coaches to not treat one game bigger than the other, so you maintain that level of focus. But right. You live in a community, or you spend enough time in a community. Many of them obviously have homes elsewhere, are not from Cleveland. But I think the longer they're in the community, the longer they go out and about in the community and hear from Browns fans and hear that passion level. And I've always felt that, right, when I wrote this once for a publication that was called NFL Insider Magazine when I worked for NFL Publishing, and the tone that I got, and I believe I'm right about this. I wouldn't call it scientific, but I talked with enough players and coaches throughout the NFL and executives as well. They all said the same thing. Rivalries are held dear to the heart of the fans.
Right.
They're the keepers of the flame because they're the common thread from season to season.
They're the constants.
The players aren't constants.
Right.
Coaches aren't constants. So they all have to come into a community and really understand it's important to know what you are playing for besides your paycheck.
Right, and right, you're playing, and I think as he said it, you know, in this city, it's such a big deal that this is the one game that I think it kind of reminds me in some ways, now that I've, you know, been here, and the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry. I think if you ask Buckeye fans, would you rather have, you know, go undefeated and then lose to Michigan at the end of the year, or lose a couple games early and beat Michigan at the end of the year? They want to beat Michigan at the end of the season,
yeah,
without question. And I think fans of the Cleveland Browns want to see the Browns absolutely beat the Steelers. There is no game that's talked about more to me from Browns fans than the Steeler game. And it happens, I think we're just 2 days away.
It's just 2 days away, and you feel it. It's palpable
to
be in that stadium. And I was there last year, and I talked about it. The feeling on the field, just watching. There have been two times where I've felt kind of moved emotionally by the way the game was ending. Sometimes that emotion hasn't been so great. It's been, you know, unfortunately more times a lot of it.
Furious anger.
Moved to tears, anger, you name it. But moved in such a positive way. It was that Steeler game last year. And again, I didn't care who wasn't quarterbacking them. I didn't care. I saw the 8 turnovers. I saw the hitting by the Browns defense that resulted in those turnovers. I felt the physical dominance that was there. And I loved the way people in the stadium were just so, the celebration, it was more than celebration. There was a certain level of giddiness to watching this and seeing it unfold. My phone's blown up with texts from people just saying how they couldn't believe it from in and around Cleveland. And it was a beautiful thing. And then, of course, the other time was the Ravens game, this snapping that 11-game streak, because these things drape on you. They are albatrosses. They sit on you. They weigh heavily. The whole Steeler series with the Steelers' dominance weighs heavily. The thought that you can't beat Ben Roethlisberger because he's so good, and he's an Ohio guy playing quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's had the success, he's got a couple of Super Bowl rings. You know, you want to dethrone that guy and that team, and I'm happy. I'm thrilled that he's coming to town as their quarterback, because when the Browns win Sunday, I don't want to give away my call yet, but when they do win Sunday, it'll feel that much better.
Absolutely, it'll
Did
feel
I just
that
give
much
it away?
Better. You may have tipped your hand just
a little
bit.
All right, I was just telling you and Carly.
But that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. I think everybody liked it. Let's see who else has a call on this weekend's game. Phil in Brecksville, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Hey, guys.
How you doing?
Not that bad. You know, this will always be special to me. You know, it's not even, you know, while we were drafting Mike Junkin, they were drafting Lynn Swann. And, you know, you have to respect – you know, what they did. You know, they took offensive linemen, you know, 1-2 for years. But, you know, honestly, it's the way we've been beaten that's really gotten me over the years. And I just don't like, you know, anything about the Steelers. I didn't like when Joe Banner traded with them. That just goes very deep. But I think things are changing. I think when Phil Taylor stood up to Ray Rice, I think the physicality of what these guys are doing, they're not going to get pushed around anymore.
Absolutely not.
That's a good point.
I hope they all realize. I heard Chud, for him, that was like downright giddy. I mean, I have never heard him say, you know, this is Steelers week or this is, you know, Dolphins week. So he gets it. I hope the players get it.
Yeah, I do too. And you're right to put it that way. Hope they get it because, you know, you hear it from the right people. You want to hear it from the head coach. And you hear certain players, DeQuell Jackson, we just listened to, talked about it in ways that told you it took a little time for him to get there, but he's there. And that is the other thing. It's handed down from older players to younger players. I remember a story. This is a different team, but it's a very similar, if not identical, situation. So for years, the rivalry was the Buffalo Bills and the Miami Dolphins, and it's kind of shifted there to a Bills-Patriots thing. But for the same reasons, it was a Bills-Dolphins thing because the Dolphins had won a decade, the whole 70s, against the Buffalo Bills, and it just put people in a very bad place psychologically in Buffalo, obviously. And, I mean, as I lived there and kind of understood it, it was pretty remarkable the way people felt about it. And actually, there were some people who lived in Buffalo who were born and raised Buffalonians who became Dolphin fans because they saw the Dolphins as the standard of, like, excellence and their own team as being a bad team. And that can happen, too, by the way, through the years when one team is owning another. But then when that started to shift, the tide turned, and I'll tell you when it turned, when the Bills turned into the Super Bowl team of the 90s, and one of the key pieces who showed up in the late 80s, a guy named Thurman Thomas, who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, loves to tell a story that when he arrived to Buffalo after he was drafted and he got to the airport, and he gets in, it was the first week, but he got into a cab. He didn't have a car with him in town. He got in the cab to go out to dinner, and the cab driver says, "Hey, you're Thurman Thomas." "Yeah." He says, you're on the Bills now, huh? "Welcome to Buffalo." "Great." He says, "You just got to do one thing and one thing only, beat the Dolphins." He says, "I don't care whatever the hell else you do, just beat the Dolphins." And he, Thurman will tell that story to this day. That registered with him.
Yeah, and that's a great story. And I was watching last night's game between the Saints and the Falcons, and they did the trivia was, you know, what two quarterbacks have started against each other the most in NFL history. And did you see the answer?
It was Kelly versus Marino.
Right? Uh-huh. Kelly yeah. versus Kelly Marino, 21 versus... times.
And I covered every single one of those.
That's a pretty darn good
was quite a
pair
yeah.
of quarterbacks
Not
going
bad.
At locking horns. Not bad
two,
at all.
Two guys in Canton.
That's right. When we return here, actually, let's get a couple quick calls in before we do our Friday forecast because people are calling up. Bill in Norwalk, call your shot on Cleveland Browns Daily. Driven by Liberty Ford.
Hey, guys, go Browns.
That's right.
Browns. You know, I think a lot of this rivalry starts, Chud gets it. Chud's been brought up. Chud's been around it for years.
And I think that's important.
To fire these guys up. I
yes.
think it all starts with the coaching from the top down, and Chud knows what's going on. He knows the rivalry. He feels it to his bones. I think he's going to have the guys fired up.
I agree. That's a good call. I think he's still done a commendable coaching job. Got a losing record right now, so, you know, stop short of that. You know, you got to have a winning record to be considered a good coach, just like a good player and a good contributor. But I do like most of what he has done so far, and this is the piece that I think he can handle, getting a team ready for a big game like this.
And I think this is one situation where it really helps that he grew up as a fan of the Cleveland Browns and knows just how important this yeah. rivalry is, and he'll be able to communicate that along with the veteran players. There's no question that this team is going to be fired up. They're getting to play them for the first time in their building at First Energy Stadium, where the Browns have been tough this season, especially in the division, 2-0 against Cincinnati and Baltimore. Let's go to Randy in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Randy, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Thank you, gentlemen. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the game. I'll be sitting in the dog pound because I'm a season ticket holder. I'm actually
awesome.
Driving on my way
wow.
there now.
Outstanding.
Awesome.
So,
drive safely.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Now, I'm looking forward to a good win where we mop the floor with the Steelers. 44-20 is what I think is
wow.
going to happen because we need to show the rest of the league that the Browns are serious, and I think Chud is the right guy for the job. Now, we failed last week, but there were failures all over the place, and I think that we need to turn the dime and we need to make the rest of the league and the rest of the world know that the Cleveland Browns are for real, and we're here to stay. So that's why I believe we're going to mop the floor with the Steelers, and let's get this rivalry back going and, you know, put our place back into where it belongs in the NFL.
Stuff. Yeah, I love your enthusiasm. I'm not sure I agree with your score, but I see what your point is. You can make such a statement, an overwhelming statement, with an overwhelming kind of victory. I think the Steelers are capable of being, we saw that after their 0-4 start, capable of being on the wrong end of that kind of score. More than capable.
More than capable of it, and I'd like to see that happen. Again, the physicality of the Browns, I think, will allow them to continue to suffocate a Steelers run offense that is 30th in the National Football League, and it'll be a matter of doing the job as it is every week against those secondary targets. Remember, they're 1-4 in the last five games. What do those five games have in common? They've given up multiple passing touchdowns in every single one of them.
Right.
They've given up two passing touchdowns total in the first five games. It's a big difference.
Yeah.
They need to get the job done, win those battles against the secondary options, the Jericho Cotries, the Emmanuel Sanders, the Heath Millers. Win those battles, and the Browns certainly can get it done. We'll be back right after this with our Friday forecast, sweeping the nation, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.